This session looks at an introduction to corporation tax. First of all, we must look at who is actually chargeable to corporation tax. Corporation tax is charged on any corporate body. Corporate bodies include both limited and unlimited companies. A company is basically any body which has been incorporated, and a company will be denoted with the terms limited or PLC. This stands for public limited company. An unlimited company will not have such denotion at the end of its name. In order to be a properly registered company, it must be registered at Companies House. Corporation tax also applies to unincorporated associations. These include members' clubs and political associations. Have a look at the screen and decide which of the following are liable to corporation tax, given the definition I have just been through. Simply indicate your choices by ticking yes or no in each box. Once you have finished, select continue and I will go through the solution with you. Online Tutors Limited is a limited company and therefore is liable to corporation tax, as is Unilever PLC. Oxfam is a charity and charities do not pay corporation tax, and so therefore there is no liability. The Seaford Golf Club, being a members club, is liable to corporation tax. However, the London Borough of Camden is not liable, as it is a local authority. Being a political association, the Green Party is clearly an unincorporated association and liable to corporation tax, but Chris Jones and the Jones Family Trust are liable to income tax and therefore outside the corporation tax regime. In the remainder of this module, we will concentrate on the taxability of companies. Let us now take a look at the issue of company residence. A company is resident in the UK if it is incorporated in the United Kingdom, i.e., it is registered at Companies House, either in England and Wales, Scotland or Northern Ireland. Companies which are not incorporated in the UK are resident here if their place of central management and control is in the UK. When answering this question, we have to look to see where the directors of the company live and meet. If this is in the UK, the company is highly likely to be classed as UK resident. Companies which are resident in the UK are liable to tax on their worldwide income, i.e., income earned all over the world. However, there is still a liability to UK corporation tax by non-resident companies. Let us say we have a company which is resident for tax purposes in France. This company will be liable to tax in the UK on income arising in this country, for instance, income from a bank deposit account held in the UK or income from a trade carried on in the United Kingdom. So therefore, the UK tax net catches all UK resident companies on their worldwide income and foreign companies to the extent that they receive income in the UK. Once we have determined the extent of the company's liability to tax, we must now see how it would become chargeable. Companies are liable to corporation tax for chargeable accounting periods. The chargeable accounting period is usually the period for which a company makes up a set of accounts. For example, a company prepares a set of accounts for the year ending 31st of December 2009. This is known as the company's period of account, or POA. This company will also have a chargeable accounting period for the year ending 31st of December 2009, and this is known as the CAP. However, the rules for chargeable accounting periods are not that simple. We must be aware for tax purposes of the special rules which apply to determine when a chargeable accounting period begins and when it ends. A chargeable accounting period begins on the earlier of the commencement of trading by the company, the acquisition of a source of income, for instance the opening of an interest-bearing bank account, the company becoming UK resident, and finally, immediately after the previous chargeable accounting period ends. In short, there are no gaps between the end of one chargeable accounting period and the start of a new one. A chargeable accounting period, CAP, ends on the earlier of the cessation or commencement of trade, the company becoming dormant, i.e. having no sources of income, the end of a company's period of account, or 12 months after it began. This means that a chargeable accounting period cannot exceed 12 months for corporation tax. A CAP also ends on the commencement of a winding up of the company, or on the company entering into administration, or finally, on the company beginning or ceasing to be UK resident. On the next screen, I'm going to actually show an example, which I want you to work through. I would therefore suggest you pause at this point, jot down the rules which have appeared on your screen, and then try and work through the example. When you are ready to proceed, simply push the play button once more. On the screen, you will see an example of a company which was incorporated on the 1st of June 2010, making up its first set of accounts to the 31st of October 2011, this being the end of its first period of account. It opens a bank account on the 1st of September 2010, which bears interest and commences a trade on the 1st of October 2010. I would like you to insert in the boxes provided the start dates and end dates of the chargeable accounting periods. If you think we have provided you with too many boxes, simply write naught in the boxes you don't consider to be relevant. Once you have completed the exercise, push continue and I will go through this with you. Let's now have a look in detail at the rules. First of all, we must be aware that the incorporation of a company, i.e. registering at company's house, does not trigger the start of a chargeable accounting period. The obvious reason for this is that there is no income, so nothing to tax. A chargeable accounting period will only begin on the acquisition of a source of income. Consequently, the first chargeable accounting period will begin on the 1st of September 2010, when the interest-bearing bank account is opened, and will end on the commencement of trade as a new chargeable accounting period starts at that point. So the first chargeable accounting period will run from the 1st of September 2010 to the 30th of September 2010. The second chargeable accounting period will start on commencement of trading and will end 12 months after it starts on the 30th of September 2011. The third chargeable accounting period will begin immediately after the previous accounting period came to an end, i.e. on the 1st of October 2011, and will end on the 31st of October 2011 when the period of account ends. Therefore, in the first period of account, the company has three separate chargeable accounting periods, and it is vital that we understand how these rules work, as we must tax companies for the right periods. If you did not get the example right first time, perhaps go over it again now before proceeding through the rest of this lecture, just to cement the rules in your own mind. Companies are charged to tax on income and chargeable gains. Broadly, a company will have trade profits, non-trading profits, loan relationships, property income, and chargeable gains. The rules used to determine a company's taxable profits are similar to those that apply to individuals. However, there are some important differences. Income taxed as trade profit is the most important source of income as far as companies are concerned. The calculation of the trade profit figure brought into a corporation tax computation is similar to the calculation for sole traders and partnerships. In adding back disallowable expenditure, there are no adjustments for private expenditure by a company. The director or employee is taxed on the private expenditure as employment income. Hence, there is no restriction on the amount the company is allowed to deduct for corporation tax purposes. Interest expense, to the extent that it has been incurred on a non-trading loan, must also be added back. Instead, relief is given for this interest expense under the rules relating to loan relationships. An example of a non-trading loan is a loan used to buy an investment such as a rental property or shares in another company. Dividends paid by a company are simply an appropriation of profits to the shareholders and are not an allowable trading expense. Dividends received by a UK company do not normally form part of its trading income, as they will usually be exempt. Therefore, they are normally deducted in arriving at trade profit. This also applies to overseas dividends received on or after the 1st of July 2009. Capital allowances for a company are always calculated for the chargeable accounting period and not for the period of accounts. Therefore, the capital allowances computation for a company can never be for more than 12 months. Remember that private use adjustments never apply to companies, so there will never be a private use asset column. Non-trading profit, loan relationships, taxes profits from UK non-trading loan relationships. We will cover the loan relationship rules in a later module, but basically, non-trade profits, loan relationships, taxes all non-trading interest receivable by companies, less interest payable on non-trading loans. Non-trading profits, loan relationships, is normally calculated on an accruals basis for companies. UK interest income is received gross by companies. Non-trading gains, intangible fixed assets, taxes income relating to non-trading intangible fixed assets. Miscellaneous income is a catch-all. Where we cannot find any other category to tax a particular item under, it will usually be caught within miscellaneous income. Profits of a UK property business taxes income from property situated in the UK, and the rules for companies are similar to the rules for UK property business profits for individuals. Overseas property business taxes all foreign rental income. Dividends received by companies are not normally taxable. However, they do affect the rate of corporation tax that the company will pay. We will look at the calculation of corporation tax in the next chapter. Companies pay corporation tax on their capital gains for the chargeable accounting period, whereas individuals pay a separate tax, CGT, on their capital gains. The same rules are used for calculating gains for companies as for individuals, except that companies are allowed a further deduction called indexation allowance in arriving at their chargeable gains. Indexation allowance adjusts for the effects of inflation between the date the acquisition cost or enhancement expenditure was incurred until the date of the disposal using the Retail Prices Index, RPIs. You will cover indexation allowance in more detail in a later module. It is the net gains for the chargeable accounting period which are included in the corporation tax computation. The net gains are all of the chargeable gains made in the chargeable accounting period, less any capital losses. Companies do not receive an annual exemption. Charges on income are payments made by a company that are deducted from total income and gains. Charges are deducted when they are paid, rather than on the accruals basis. The only charge on income that you are likely to see for companies is a gift aid donation to charity. The donation is always paid gross, so you simply deduct the figure you are given in arriving at the profits chargeable to corporation tax or PCTCT. The profits chargeable to corporation tax are the total of all the company's income and gains, less a deduction for any charges on income paid. This term PCTCT will be used throughout the corporation tax modules, so do try and remember what it stands for. Let us now have a look at a multiple choice question. In the question, you are given some details about Walton Limited and the sources of income and amount it has paid during the year ended 31st of March 2010. What is the company's chargeable profit? A, B, C or D? Make your choice, then select continue when you are ready. Let's have a look at the answer. The profit the company showed was £60,000, but this was after charging depreciation of £3,000. Depreciation is not an allowable expense for tax purposes, so therefore we must add it back in arriving at the trade profit figure. We then bring in the company's other income. In this case, it's profits from a UK property business. Finally, we then deduct the company's charges on income, being the gift aid payment to charity of £6,000. This is again the gross figure. That leaves us with PCTCT of £64,000. The correct answer was therefore answer D. That concludes this module on the introduction to corporation tax.